Okay, we are picking up with the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, the top, the very beginning. Hano der Meshov Se Shabbos. Our learning is once again sponsored Leilu Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. So says the Mishnah now. Hano der Meshov Se Shabbos. So someone who makes a neder asering benefit from those who rest on Shabbos. Aser be Yisrael, aser be Kusim. He's going to also derive benefit from Jews. Obviously, coming up is. Right? From the Jews. And also the Chiddush is from Kusim. Now, Kusim are mentioned in Mishnayos all over Shas Mishnayos. Basically, what happened was the Kusim were one of the nations that in Ashur, they brought to settle part of Eretz Yisrael. After he exiled the 10 tribes, after Ashur, the king of Ashur exiled the 10 tribes, and what happened was, is that these Goyim had a crazy attack by lions, and they decided to convert to Judaism out of fear of being punished by Kosh Baruch Hu for not keeping the religion of the land, and therefore they converted to Judaism. The problem is that that's the whole shaila in the Mishnah is back and forth all the time. Are they Geri Emes, Geri Arayos? I think, right, Geri Arayos is but only because they're Arayos. They didn't actually keep any mitzvahs. They didn't remove Avodah Zarah. So basically, throughout the Mishnah, you'll see that there are certain things that they did keep, like the Gemara's Halasha, and the things that they kept, they were like Muchzag Yosar Mistral. But they ignored a lot of other halachas, like they only kept the Torah Shebichsav, many halachas. So this is the shaila. So here, it's also the Chiddush is that they also kept Shabbos, and they would also be usher to benefit from a kusi. Ma'ochle shum, someone who makes a neder from those who eat garlic. Asr b'Yisrael v'asr b'kusim. So the idea of eating garlic is Takanas Ezra. It's actually one of the Asar Takanas that are mentioned in the Gemara and Bava Kama. And the idea of having garlic is that it's able to increase the zera of a person to have relations. When he has relations, he's able to have more zera. And therefore, they're able to, it's a Leil Ona is Friday night. And that's why a person is supposed to have garlic. So this was a minug that Ezra was masakin. And it's a shaylef. This applies with Manazeh. The Magen Avraham discusses in Shulchan Aruch how much this applies Manazeh. I think even there's a chiddush that I say the Stipler says it's lav dafka. That the garlic is for that night, but it's for in general. So even Bachrim, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to quote things wrong, that even for Bachrim, it's really just a longer thing. It's just in general that they should be able to have children at the right time. So that's why we have it. And anyway, so apparently this is something that we're going to see that the Kusim kept as well. I guess they found it convenient, and they kept this as well. So therefore, Asar B'Yisrael, Asar B'Kusim, so they also are going to be Asar, because they kept this halacha, Me'olei Yerushalayim. However, if you make a neder, answering those who go up to Yerushalayim, so then you're going to be Asarim B'Yisrael, U'musar B'Kusim, and you're going to be Mutar to benefit from Kusim. Because going up to Yerushalayim is during the Aliyah L'Regel, and Kusim apparently did not do that. We're going to see that they hated the Beis HaMikdash. That's why we assume that they don't do it. So the Gemara asks, what's this Lashon? My Shoiv Se Shabbos. The Madir is saying, those who rest on Shabbos. So you're going to tell me, Ilmal Ilema Mimekayime Shabbos. You meant to say from those who are observing the halachas of Shabbos, Mayer Iria Bakusim. Why does the Mishnah specify Kusim Afilo of the Gachavim Nami? That everybody rests on Shabbos at some point, you go to sleep. And so it's saying that people who are rather Elah Mimitsuvim Allah Shabbos. It means those who are commanded regarding Shabbos. That's what it must mean. So, right? It sort of just said Asr B'Mekayme Shabbos is in order that it would be that case, it should be Mekayme Shabbos. Rather, it's those who are Chayav and Shabbos. But the second part of the Mishnah tells us, Me'ole Yerushalayim Asr B'Yisrael Musar B'Kusim. Someone who, if you say, those who go up to Yerushalayim for the Shalosh Regalim, it's going to be forbidden to benefit from Jews, but permitted to be benefiting from Kusim. It's about just who's commanded in it. And when we said about Shabbos, it's all about Meshovsi Shabbos, those who are commanded in Shabbos. It can't just be that, because Kusim are also, again, we're assuming that they're at least quasi, they're supposed to be Jewish, so they should be keeping the halachas, and we know that they should be going alayla regal, even they don't actually do that. So rather, it says Abaye Mar Abaye Mitzuveh Ve'Osek Tani. The Mishnah is teaching us the Chiddush is both. You need two conditions to be met in order to fulfill this halach, to fulfill this neder. Is it has to be both somebody who's commanded and also those who practice that. That's included in your lashon of the neder. Be'tarte Baviv Kamaisa. So therefore, the first two cases, the Hainu, the case of Shov Se Shabbos, and those are Machle Shum Yisrael Ve'Kusim Mitzuyim Ve'Osin. Jews and Yidden Jews and Yidden, same thing. Jews and Kusim are both going to be chayev, and they both practice them. Apparently, the Tosafot Yom Tov explains that they apparently found that usually they only kept, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that they usually only kept halachas that were in the Torah. Halachas in the Torah, that's what they kept. They don't really keep other things. So the Tosafot Yom Tov points out, Lachora, we see that things that they found, like, oh, this is a nice minhag to do. I like this idea. Let me do this also. So that's something that they kept as well, and they would keep that also. So that they, so this was, they were commanded to, and they also do it. So that's in Gechavim and Maichel Shum, then it's going to be Chal for Kusim. However, Ovde Gechavim, Muda, Videosim, Veinam Etzuvin. So, Ovde Gechavim, no matter what, even if they happen to keep certain lachas because they like them, they keep part of Shabbos, whatever, they're going to be excluded for the Neder because they're never Chayav. They're never Mitzuva in these mitzvahs. But Ol Yerushalayim, when it comes to those who go up to Yerushalayim, Yisrael, Israel, we are commanded to do it, and we do it, so therefore they're going to be included in the neder. However, kusim mitzuyan ve'enam osim. That kusim, although they are commanded to go up to Yerushalayim for the Shol Shagalim, they do not practice it. They hated, the Ryan points out, they hated Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. It makes sense, right? They didn't like the authority of the from Jews there, so therefore they had their own practice of worship over there, and therefore they're going to be excluded from the Neder. Okay, so then the next Mishnah tells us, after the Kusim, the Karayim basically developed based on the Kusim, that they only accepted basically Torah Shebichsav, and basically denied most of Torah Shebal Peh, and there were a lot of them. The Karaim were around for very many. Even now, there's a shul, I think in the old city, of Karaim. Now, the Karaim were a very big problem. They didn't keep the Torah. There's like tshuvas from the Rambam about the Karaim, and it's very fascinating. The Kairagnes, we find a lot of things like ksubas between a frum family and a Karaim family. So how do they accept it? What do they accept? It's very fascinating. We see the relationship that we had with them, but that was a development from the Kusim. Anyway, Vayter says the next Mishnah, Konem she'eni ne'ne l'vnei Noach. So what happens if a person says a Konem, and I'm not benefiting from the descendants of Bnei Noach, Mutar b'Yisrael abra aser b'alev dekachavim. It's permitted to derive benefit from Jews, however, it's going to be forbidden to derive benefit from Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So the Rishonim are bothered by this, Ran and others, that the Lashon of She'eni Nehenah, that I do not benefit, that's usually not really right for a Konam. It should be Sha'ani Nehenah, that which I benefit from. So therefore, they point out, okay, that's maybe to Ran and discuss it a little bit, but not here and there, and it's really Konam She'eni. So now the Gemara says the following. Wait a second. Are we all descendants of Noach? Noach was the only one to survive the flood. So lechora, we're also Bnei Noach. So the Gemara says, very fascinating, a lot of deeper kavanas to these in Yonim. Kevan de'ikdish Avram iskara al-shamei. That once Avram was singled out by Hashem, and we are Jews, we're always referenced to specifically Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, the Avos, but no longer, we're not called Bnei Noach anymore. Bnei Noach is specifically referring to Goyim. A lot of deeper kavanas to this idea that we're not called Bnei Noach anymore, that Avram Kili took over. Very interesting thing. Okay, says the next Mishnah, She'eni ne'ene lezera Avram. One is his Kodim, and that benefit from offspring of Avram, so then Aser b'Yisrael, mutter to all Goyim, and Aser to benefit from Yisrael. So it says the Gemara now, V'aika Yishmael, but wait a second. Yishmael, who was also an offspring of Avram, his descendants too should be included in the Neder. Yeah, he obviously comes from Avram. So the Gemara quotes the famous drasha based on the pasuk, Kivi Yitzchak Ikare Lechazara, that I promise through Yitzchak, your offspring is going to consider it specifically through Yitzchak and not Yishmael, and therefore we have the schos of being called Bnei Avram and not Bnei Yishmael. I guess counter to the Abraham Accords, but we are really only Bnei Avram and not Bnei Yishmael. Then we're asked, Vayika Esav, who is both Avram and Yitzchak. So he was through Yitzchak, Kibi Yitzchak Yikar Zara, so why isn't Edom and other places considered Bnei Avram? So it says the Gemara, because Be Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. Be Yitzchak is in terms of literally in Yitzchak, only some of Yitzchak, not all of Yitzchak, meaning only through Yaakov are we going to be called that bracha, and that is going to be, and that's the bracha we have in this week's parsha. Hashem is going to give you the bracha of Avram, that was the bracha that Yitzchak was giving Yaakov, that is specifically part of that. It's going to be through you, you're going to be called Bnei Avram. Okay. Says the next Mishnah now, She'eni ne'enem Yisrael. Someone says a konam that I did not benefit from Yisrael. So he's going to be forbidden to benefit from Jews. However, it's going to be permitted to do business if you have the following conditions. Lokeach biyozer mocher b'pachos. You buy at a higher price than market value, so you're not getting any benefit. And if you're selling something to him, you're undercharging him, so you're also not benefiting from him. So the Mishnah is permitting you to do business, because if you're overpaying and if you're buying and you're selling and you're underselling it, so you're not considered being neder. That's not considered a form of benefit that would be part of your neder. That's okay. She Israel Nanili, and if he says a Kohen the Israel not benefit from me, so basically you're forbidding a Jew from benefiting from you. That's your neder. So then Lokeach b'fachos of most of Yosef. Then so what happens is the Jew is coming to buy from you. You would have to buy, meaning if you're buying from him rather, let's say you're going to buy from him, so you buy at less than the market value and you would sell it to him at more. And says the Mishnah, Lechora ain't shomen lo, that you're not going to find people who do that. You made a neder against me, you made this dumb neder, so he's going to start listening to you, he's going, oh, no worries, I'll let you buy it for half the price of market value, or, you know, whatever the price is under market value. Oh, and don't worry, when I buy from you, I'm going to overpay you. And of course, you're not going to really find people to do that. That's what that's what many explain what it means over here. Some say, Ishomen lo, the round is different here, so that Ishomen lo, that if they agree to him, meaning if he can find Jews willing to overpay, in Echonami, you're allowed to do that, that would be fine. So that would be the point over here. That's the Odaran deals with a problem that we have a concept of Ein Adam Oser Davar Shelo Bala Olam Al Chavero. So like, right, you can't Oser fruits of a tree that haven't grown yet. You haven't can't Oser fruits of a tree that haven't grown yet and say that they're going to be Oser to your friend, or fruits of a thing that it's not, you don't own yet. You're going to buy it. I'm going to buy this tree, and once I do, I'm going to Oser it to you. If that was your neder, that's called a davar shelo bala olam, and davar shelo bala olam it's not going to be, your neder is not chal on it. So the Ran points out that here is not an issue of davar shelo bala olam, because there's a concept when the thing that you're being madir is in the world, here, that you're being Osering the hana on your friend, so that the idea of your friend is here, and he's bala olam. So if you then, with the deal with selling with him, the things you will in the future buy or sell from him, that's going to be not going to be part of a davar shelo bala olam. So like, if you have the tree, if you actually had the tree beforehand and then the fruits of the tree didn't grow yet, and then I think we also assume maybe that would be part of something that's bala olam, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so that's also the issue that Ran dealt with. So we point out that that's not important. So now the Mishnah continued. She'eni nana lahen vehenli. If he says a konam that I not benefit from them, nor they benefit from me. He benefits from transactions that you could have with goyim. So he can't buy or sell from Jews at any price, because either way somebody's going to be benefiting, and therefore his only option is to deal with non-Jews. So lechora, the Ran is bothered by this, that this is pashut. Why do you have to even mention this bichlal? So the Ran quotes the Ra'ah, who explains that maybe I would have thought that we have a concept that a person makes a neder that's impossible, right? Like, a person makes a neder not to sleep. So you get malchus, you're chayav malchus, and you've made a shvua shav, you've said something in vain. So similarly, when it comes to this halach, I would have thought a guy is in a, you know, fully Jewish neighborhood. He lives in Yerushalayim, wherever he lives in areas where it's like impossible not to do business with goyim, with Jews. So the Mishnah is getting a chiddush, so even though it would be really, really hard, but since there are some goyim in some places, even if they're far away, you can theoretically do only business with them. It's not going to be considered a neder. That's automatically something which you are going to be saying neder l'shav, but rather it's going to be something which you can do, albeit very difficult. Fine. So says the Gemara now, Amar Shmuel, Alokeach kli mina uman levakro. So, person, I'm looking at a thing that you're selling me. Right? You're selling me a nice, whatever it is, a nice new shtender, and I'm looking at it. I'm checking out if I want to buy it. Venenas biado, I pick up the shtender. What happens? And I drop it. So chayev. So it was a complete onus. It was like really windy. All of a sudden, a big wind came. Whatever it may have been, even though it's something which is clearly an onus, I did not. It was not negligent. And I didn't even decide to buy it yet, so it was not yet mine. I'm just a shomer, so even though I'm a shomer, I'm going to be chayev even be'onus. So what do we see? Alma kasavar hanas lokeachi. Shmuel apparently holds that the sale, the whole person who's totally benefiting from it over here is the buyer. So we have to give some background over here that when it comes to the parsha of what's called the famous the dalad shomer. We're going to see really three out of the four over here, but there's, let's say, shomer chinam, shomer sachar, and a shoel. So the Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sach, and Shoal have different halachas. Like, for example, a Shomer Chinam, if I'm watching your item for free, so I'm doing you a favor. So who's getting the benefit right now? You. You are getting the benefit right now. So if you're getting the benefit, so if something happens to it, if I wasn't negligent, so then I shouldn't have to pay you because I did you a favor. So that's all the hana is really on the person who gave it to me to watch. So therefore, I'm going to be on a very, in almost all the cases, except where Mamish was negligent, I don't have to pay you back for if something happens to it. However, a Shomer Sachar is more of a mutual benefit because I'm making money on watching your item and you are also benefiting for the fact that you obviously want me to watch it, which is why you're paying me. So since it's this type of mutual benefit, so we have this in-between halacha that when it comes to halachas of Gneva Vaveda, I'm going to be chayev, which a Shomer Chinam normally is pater, but as a Shomer Sachar, I have an upgraded shmir that I have to have, so therefore I'm going to be chayev, even though I wasn't negligent, but still I have to pay. However, if it's an ones, if it's something beyond my control, I'm going to be pater. Then we have a third category, which is the most machmir, which is a shoel. A shoel, the Gemara has a lashon above metzia of kol anah shelo, that all the benefit of the transaction over here, of you lending it to me, you gave me your car. So who's 100% benefiting for the entire week you gave me the car is me. So if anything happens to the car, I'm responsible because kol ana shali, all the ana is mine. So Shmuel takes this chiddush of kol ana shali and applies it also to idea of a sale. That apparently Shmuel's understanding that the buyer is considered getting all the ana, because he wants this item, and therefore, even though I'm selling it, I should be benefiting. Maybe you could have said it's more like a Shomer Sachar. We're going to see, actually, that might be the case in certain examples. But for at this point, the Gemara is assuming that the benefit of the item is kolkulo, the person who's buying it. Not the seller, but rather the buyer, and therefore the buyer is like a shoal at that point, and he's chayev for everything. So the Gemara says, L'chora, a problem with Shmuel. It's not because we learned in our Mishnah, She'eni nenem Yisrael, mocher bepachos. So the halacha is that someone who says, a konem that I not benefit from Israel, he sells for less than its value. Aber aval shave bishave lo, at the same value, he is not permitted to sell it. Aye, why should that be? He's the seller right now. If ve'i anas lo ke'achi, but you're going to tell me that we said that all the, who's kol anas shelo, who's all the benefit of a sale? We just said, the buyer's kol kulo the benefit. So filo shave b'shave, so it should be permitted for the seller, who made the neder not to have anah, for him to be able to sell it at the right value, because he's not considered benefiting from that, according to Shmuel. The whole benefit is on the buyer, not the seller. So says the Gemara, masnisin bezvina derame al ape. Our Mishnah is dealing with a case which is something which is not in high demand, right? Derame alape means that it's people don't want it so much. So therefore, in our case, it's something which it literally translates, by the way, it's like in your face, in this ape, in your seller's face, because he could get it anywhere he wants. So therefore, it's not in high demand, and it's not going to be something which a lot of people want. So therefore, if it's something which people don't necessarily want, then it's not going to be considered a benefit for the buyer. However, if something is in high demand, then it's going to be considered the total benefit of the buyer and not on the seller, because the seller can sell it wherever he wants. He can get the next guy, get that after him, even though physically I am making money, I make $100 on you. Yeah, but I can sell it to Reuven, I can sell it to Shimon, I can sell it wherever I want. So it's considered the hana is on the buyer, not the seller. So it says the Gemara, so their problem though, because it then seems to be that if that's how you're explaining the Mishnah then seems to be contradictory. Because Im Ken, let's now consider the Mishnah's earlier ruling, which told us lokeach biyoser. He buys at more than its value. If the Mishnah is dealing with the case of an item which is not in high demand, so then the madir should be permitted to purchase it even at the price of its value, since the seller, rather than he, is the one who's getting the benefit from it. The seller is the one who's getting the benefit because, and again, he's the madir, is the one who's the buyer, is the one who made the neder over here. So then he should be having no problem because the buyer's not getting benefit because it's something which is not in high demand. V'od, Ema Seif, and not only that, the other part of the later part of the Mishnah tells us, She Yisroel Nehenin Li, Lokeach B'Pachos, Umoche B'Yoser. If a person says a konem that Yisrael benefit from me, he buys it less than its value and sells it more. Vibes Vina Derame Alape, we're talking about a case that's not in high demand, it's very low demand. Afilu Shave B'Shave, the Madir should be permitted to sell it even at its value because the buyer will not be considered being beneficial from that sale. So that should be okay. So therefore, we have a problem. So the Gemara answers, Seifa bezvine charifa, that the Seifa of the Mishnah is talking about an item which must have been in high demand. So therefore, if it was in high demand, so the first the Reisha of the Mishnah is teaching us the halacha that if an item is low demand, then the halacha is ein hachanami. You'd be able to, the buyer's not considered to be being benefit from it if he buys it. However, the second half of the Mishnah is talking about something which is high demand, and then the benefit would really be only on the buyer, not the seller. So then it would depend on if the madir is going to be the seller, and a chanami, he would be okay. So this would answer the Gemara's only second question. It wouldn't explain why the Mishnah in the first case, the madir must buy at a higher than market price. It doesn't answer that question. And the Gemara, anyway, has another problem. The Gemara says, Yahachi lo keach bepachas afilo shaveh b'shaveh. If that's the case, that the Seifa is dealing with a case of merchandise which is high demand, why does the Mishnah tell us that the madir buys at less than its value? He should permit it to buy even at the price if it's on high demand, because the buyer is not considered a benefit in that case. Ella, turning on to the next number now, we must be talking about masnisin bezvina metzia udushmel bezvina charifa. Our Mishnah is dealing with a case with merchandise which is in kind of, you know, chetzi-chetzi, it's in metzia, it's in middle level demand, while Shmuel's case is dealing with something which is high demand. So selling something which is in just middle demand, so at the current market price, both the buyer and the seller are considered having benefit. So in that case, when someone made that, you have to buy it above market price and sell it at less, so you're not considered benefiting from it. We're in the case where someone asks or Jews to benefit from him, he has to buy it at less and sell it at more, so that he does not consider others to benefit from him. That's how we're explaining the Gemara right now. Fine, so that was what we just said. So Shmuel, just explained by the Gemara, specifically talking about an item which is in high demand, but that's a chiddush. You could have argued that even a case where something is in high demand, the seller is benefit, because after all, he's selling it. So this is Shmuel's chiddush, that would not be the case. So now the Gemara wants to bring a raya for Shmuel's idea that if I'm selling something which is in high demand, it's not considered as if I'm benefiting from it. So it says the Gemara, Tanakh Kavasi to Shmuel, a brace to support Shmuel. Because what does the brace say? Halokeach kelim min atagar l'shagan l'veis chamiv. Someone takes utensils from a merchant, and he's going to sell them to the house of his father-in-law, because he was talking about the engagement period. Right? In the time of the Gemara, they used to get halachically married, what's called the first stage of erusin. They're fully married on the race level. If the woman is cheating and sleeps with someone else, it's going to be chayiv. She's going to be chayiv misa. But it's not fully married. They waited until the nisuin to consummate the second stage of the marriage. So while they were in this halachic engaged statement stage, so he used to send presents to his kala. So here he wanted to send up some nice merchandise. He wanted nice utensils to his father-in-law, meaning to his future wife, to his kala, so to his fiance. So he says to the merchant, so if they accept it, then I'll pay you the full amount. You're selling it for $500. Here it is right now. I'll pay you the $500. However, im lav, so you know, sometimes they really say, no, we don't want this present. Thank you so much. It's such a nice offer, but we really don't need it. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. So then, aninosin l'chafi tuvas anashabahen. I'll give you the small amount of benefit that are deriving from the fact that I offered it to them. They see what a nice present I was at least offering them, even though they denied it. So I'll give you, you know, $25 for your efforts of bringing it. Thank you so much. And I'll pay you that amount. So the halacha is, nensu ba'licha chayev. If the utensils were broken on the way there, you're obligated to pay the seller the full price. Because you were at that point, Ron points out, you're still the potential buyer, and all the benefit was the buyers at this point, so therefore you have the status of a shoel, who's going to be chayev anonsin. However, bechazara, pater. But if they were destroyed on the way back, you're not going to be obligated to pay the full price. Why? Because at that point you're like a paid shomer. Once it becomes clear you're no longer buying the utensils, because your father-in-law doesn't want them, so you're no longer considered the person of who has kol anah shelo, and therefore you are going to be like a shomer sachar. You are a shomer sachar because I'm benefiting from it, because I'm paying the guy from this $25 for his efforts, but at the same time I'm not taking it, so he's also benefiting from it because he's getting it back, and I got the benefit because I wanted to give it to my father-in-law. So therefore, we're considered both as being benefit from it. So this is going to be a raya for Shmuel, because Shmuel says someone takes an item from a seller in the thinking that a person is going to buy them, that is going to be the status of a shomer. That's what we see over here. And the halicha is going to be chayav even from an ones. That's the point. So now the Gemara just says a story about this. Ahu safsira the shakal charmer lizbune v'loy zaban. There was a guy who was a safsira, is like an agent basically. Right? So he was an agent who was trying to take a donkey. So what does he say? He says, okay, I agree. Let me do this. I'm going to go try sell this for you. I'm going to buy it right now at $400. We agree upon this price. If I find someone to sell it for whatever, I'm going to make a profit, whatever the number is on in my head. He doesn't tell him what he doesn't do. Maybe he does. I'm going to sell for $500, $600. Then I'm going to give you the $400. And if not, I'm going to give it back to your donkey at the end of the day. And he didn't find anybody to sell it. So what happened was, he brought it back. You know, he went to town to look for another town over to try to sell it. Nobody bought the donkey. And the donkey, died or whatever, something happened to it. Chayavir of Nachman l'shlumir. Rav Nachman said that he's obligated to pay the agent is going to be chayav to pay the owner of the donkey. So Gemara says Eisiv Rav of Nachman. Rav Nachman based on the brace that we just quoted. Nensu baliza chayav bechazara pater. Where the items in the case of the guy's future father-in-law and his future kala, he wants to send him the gifts. If it was on the way there, you're going to be chayev because you're considered like a shoel. But the way back, we said you're like a shomer sachar and you're going to be putter from onus. So here too, also, why don't we say this is considered the way back and you should be putter because it was onus? So Rav Nachman says no, because the cases are different. Amar Lei, he says Chazara de Safsira Halichahi, that even the return trip of this agent is going to be like that of the bringing in the case of the son-in-law bringing to his father-in-law. Why? Because Deilo Mishdakach Lizbune Afilu Abava de Buse Mi Lo Mizavin Lei. Because if you'd find someone who's willing to buy it on his way home, he would fully sell it. So it's at that point he's still considered like a shoal, because any point from now till he gives it back, if he finds anybody who wants to buy it, he'd be more than shoal myself. So happy to be able to sell it, and therefore he's still considered an agent who's kolanah shelo until the mamish gives it back to the owner. So the cases are fundamentally different than this case and the Bryce's case. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, konem she'ani nenel arelim. So I makes a konem that derived from people who are arelim, people who are not circumcised. Mutar barele Israel. So it didn't mean that you meant a Jew is not circumcised, but arelim is like a derogatory term. We say like by goyim. And look at the uncircumcised ones. And similarly, if you have, like, let's say, Bnei Ishmaelim, you know, you still call them Arelim, because the Angalim is a term that they're not considered Jews. Sha'ani Nenel Mulim. However, if a person says, similarly, on the other way around, on the flip side, if that derived benefit people who have a bris milah or are circumcised, then Aser Barilah says, you're still going to be Aser to derive benefit even from a Yid who's not from, who doesn't have a bris milah. However, and you're going to be permitted to derive benefit from a non-Jew who does have a bris milah, because you didn't mean that literally that they're not circumcised, they don't have a bris milah. You meant that they're not a yid. So the Gemara says, arla kriya el Hashem avodah zarah, because the orla is not used except in a reference to non-Jews. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ki chol agoyim arelim v'chol beis Yisrael arele leiv. The entire Klal Yisrael are like there are Arelim and Chol Beis Yisrael are Lev. We're impure in thought, but we at least have a bris milah. Ve'omer, another pasuk says, "Vaya plishtim arel azeh," and the plishtim shall be like them. Ve'omer, another pasuk says, "Arel," and it says, "I get the plishtim arel azeh," that he did. It's from a Goliath. David Omer from Goliath that he's an arel. Ve'omer ben pentes machna benos plishtim pentelozna benos Arelim. The plishtim are going to rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised ones are going to be happy, and that refers to the entire plishtim. And we see that the entire plishtim nation were called Areli. Orla is considered disgusting. Shinizganu bar rishayim, because people who are the biggest rishayim, the wicked people, they're disparaged based on that. Shnemar kichola goyim arelim. All the nations of the world are arelim, uncircumcised. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer gedola mila. Now we discussed how bad it is to be an arel. Let's talk about how positive it is to have a bris mila. Mila is such a great thing. Shenichrasu aleha shaloshes rebrisos. They have 13 different brisos. The word bris is mentioned 13 times in reference to the bris mila of Avram Avinu. Rabbi Yosi Oimer gedola mila. Mila so great. Shedoichas Shabbos chamura. We know it says biyom hashmini yimo b'sar l'arso. Biyom hashmini even if it's on Shabbos. And it's an Isser of Chabura is an Isser of Reisa, yet we allow it on Shabbos. Rabbi Shulman Karchoy Mergadola Mila Shalonitla Lola Moshe Atzadik Alea. Moshe was Melosha, even for 1 hour, he's going to be punished for not doing the Mila for his son. We're going to discuss this. What exactly did he do wrong? Rabbi Nechemia Oimer Gedola Mila Shadoches Anegoim. It also is going to, if a person has a nega on his makum of tzaras, even if it's a mila shelo bezamana, the Ran points out, because otherwise we really saw it's docha shabbos, which is more chamer than mila. So what's it so great about this? No, even if it's a mila shelo bezamana, it's docha tzaras, which in Israel is a race. So normally it's ase docha los ase. Rabbi Omer gedola mila shekol mitzos nasar avram vino lo nikra shalom ad shemal. He was not called shalom until he had a bris mila. Shenemar he's alech lefana v'yesamim. Walk before me and be complete. After your bris milah, now you're considered complete. That's when that was in the mitzvah Hashem was giving him of bris milah. Davar acher gedol lemilah shil malah. He had not been for bris milah. Lo baragosh baruch hu esay lamo. Shenemar kichomar Hashem in lo bris yom v'layel chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samtia, we're not a creator of the world. In context, it refers to just the laws of nature. Hashem is telling us, though, that just as the natural worlds, the cycle of day and life, etc., they're not stopping, so too his love for the Jewish people is never going to stop. So we're learning from here an additional level of interpretation that if it had not been for bris milah, the world had not been functioning. So says the Gemara Tanya, Rishu ben Karcha, Megdola Mila, Shekol Zechuya Sha'asa Moshe Rabbeinu La'amdulo. All is chus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the holiest Navi ever to live, was almost going to be killed for not doing bris milah. Because just Rasha Min Amila, when he was late in doing the mitzvah bris milah for his son Eliezer, then he was almost punished with death. Shenemar, Vayiv Kashay Hashem Vayikash Amiso, Hashem encountered him and wanted to kill him. Right? This is the psukim, one of the most perplexing psukim in the Torah over here. Very, very interesting story, what happened over here. Amar Rebbe, Chaz Hashem Shemoshim in his Rashman, you can say that he wasn't careful doing bris milah. What was his cheshbon? Alakach Amar. Here was his cheshbon. Amol Ve'etze, if Hashem told me to go to Egypt right now, so I'm gonna give him a bris milah and then go on a derech. We know, sakani, that going on a derech with a bris milah is very dangerous. The third day is the most painful, and he's gonna bring it in the desert. We know all Klal Yisrael didn't do the bris milah all the while they're in the desert because it was dangerous. I'm gonna wait 3 more days, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to leave right now. Lech Shom Mitzrayim. Ela b'mneiman enesh Moshe. Why taka was Moshe punished? Because Mneishin is asik b'malon tchila. He first went to find his place to sleep when he came near Egypt, when he came near Mitzrayim, and that's why he was punished. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was correct for delaying it, still, once he came close to Egypt, it was no longer Sakana, at that point, immediately he should have stopped and done Bris Milah, and that's why he was punished. It actually has nafka minas, because it seems to imply that delaying even a Milah Shalob Ismana is very chamar. Shenemar vi baderech b'malon, and they went away, and Hashem wanted to kill him. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up Rama Gamliel, Amir Tzah Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.